Welcome back to Pints and Pairings and all formalities. You'd think that I'd been drinking 11% beers. I don't know what's happening here. What I meant to say was that they're all thrown out the window, whatever they happen to be.
That was a premiere lead-in for the Pints and Pairings meltdown
show.
We need a soundboard.
At some point, see, I'm no good at multitasking.
Multitasking?
Just multitasking. Oh, malting.
M-U-L-T-I, not yeah. M-A-L-T-Y.
Yeah.
Although I do like the phrase multitasking. We have to figure out a way to use that.
Multi. Well, that's what we're doing right now. We're talking and we're drinking. That's multi something. Anyway, so, you know, to be able to come over here and push a button, if I had a sound machine, maybe whereas I only had to worry about four buttons and I could just push a pause or boo and then I just said a pause instead of applause. So that tells you that my L's, the front motor parts of my speech are heading out the door, which is good because I don't have to go out anywhere. So that's the good news. And I've got all kinds of sandwich meat out there to mow down through, so we'll be in good shape. We just, you know, we basically finished the BJCP categories. I mean, we did hit the last one, although we still need to hit fruit beer and wood age or smoked beers.
They seem kind of primitive and thin, though, compared to what we just wrapped up with. This is 11% Old Numbskull from Alesmith. We'll put most of the beer... the fruit beer is to shame.
It will, but...
But we do have the oak aged, which could put us on our rear.
Well, what do I have got? So we'll hit two of those, actually, on the oak aged, because I have double barrel ale, and then I also have the smoked, stone smoked porter. Wait, smoked is in there somewhere. Wood aged and smoked.
Same category. Yeah, there but the subcategories open up a lot of cool stuff for us.
So I've got a couple beers there, and we'll have fun with that. But, you know, we just finished up some giant beers, and I feel like I'm in pretty good shape considering.
You're looking forward to your sandwich meat.
That I am.
When you go back and look at the broadcast, that was not an earthquake. That was Curtis kicking my
with my giant slipper foot.
Your slipper foot. Here comes the slipper foot. But when you go back and look at the broadcast, especially in post-production, you'll notice that I slip out of frame numerous times. Just did for the bread.
It's the bread
and
tray.
I think that may be your first slice of bread. So therein lies the variance between your state and my state.
I should have been drinking much more water anyway. So one of the things I was thinking about as we're drinking all these holiday beers, you know, we touched on it just a tiny bit, and you had... the best excuse ever and for us to be drinking a holiday beer was that if Target can have their Christmas stuff up already.
Or you would name brand, you'd call them out.
If they can have it. But it's not just them. It's everywhere else. I mean, if you drive down Old Towns anywhere, they're already putting out their holiday stuff. And so if they can do it, we can certainly drink it.
Yes.
But we kind of touched on just a few holiday classics as we were, I don't know, engaging.
I wish I had caught this or picked up on it during our official broadcast with the barley wine and Old Numbskull, but I just brought this glass to my nose. There's a certain floral component, almost a lavender-esque kind of note that comes out in the aroma. Sorry, that derailed us. But one thing I want to bring up, and I try not to get into politics too much because it fuels people's passion to a point where if an argument ensues, neither side is going to win. It just people have their stance, and that's just what it is. I recently was shaken in my resolve. I will not back down from the fact that Thanksgiving should come before Christmas, always, and the fact that Christmas songs and lights and promotion is already taking place. However, someone put out there, you know, there's all this controversy about people working on Thanksgiving and they should have time for their families. I'm on board for that. To a point. And I say to a point because, again, I was shaken in my resolve. a friend of mine posted a perspective that resonated with me. I grew up in a household where my father has been a cop for almost 30 years. There's a lot of service industries out there, firemen, healthcare. People have to work. There are jobs that must be done 365 days a year, regardless of the holiday. Mm-hmm. If we expect those individuals to work and be there at our service, and a business chooses to open on Thanksgiving, their employees can fight it internally. I can't knock a business for trying to bring in some revenue that day in comparison, again, using the service industry as its base. Some people may not celebrate that holiday. Maybe their religion or their background doesn't celebrate that holiday, and they want to be open. So be it. If you don't want to shop there, you don't agree with it, then don't shop there. Right. The market will take care of itself. But I was, for a long time, I was like, you know what? People need to be with their families. And that's partially because of my desire to be with my family. Mm-hmm. But if they want to be open and people are willing to go there and purchase something from them, so be it.
Yeah, it's a perfectly valid point. And if people don't show up to shop this time,
they won't be open next time.
Then they won't be open next year. But chances are there's going to be people that are open.
Wouldn't bitch about a cop or a fireman.
Oh, no.
You'd expect them to be available,
right,
if you're in need.
Yeah, and I'm a tree-hugging hippie, pretty much through and through, and agnostic at best. And when I want to go to the grocery store and it's closed, or I want to
get pissed.
I'm not celebrating this holiday.
It sucks. I've been an employee on the holidays, you know, Christmas Eve. When I was in high school, for God's sake, I used to work at the grocery store. And the eves of each holiday, we'd be open. Sometimes on Thanksgiving morning, we'd be open because people need that last-minute item. Right. And it sucked, but you work around it. There are so many other instances and times during the year where you don't want to be at work and you have to be, mm-hmm, as well. That's part of life.
Yeah. No, I agree. I guess I hadn't thought about it because I'd kind of taken the same stance, too, that they shouldn't be open. But I was more cynical on the corporate side of it.
And I would agree with you there. I still harbor a certain resentment, like just more corporate greed and revenue. Mm-hmm. But again, if you don't agree with it, just don't shop there.
Right. It's easy enough to do. Right. Oh, and by the way, welcome to the Food in the Mouth show. I'm Curtis Saylor, as I'm chewing down.
And I'm Jason Hendrick, the Hungry Man.
But on to happier news, thoughts, because as all this stuff starts coming out, you start to see all the fun stuff. So, by fun stuff, I mean the holiday classics. And I'm not talking about It's a Wonderful Life or...
Oh, you're going to knock my, recommendation?
Miracle on 34th Street or any of the... I know, I'm talking about The Christmas Story. I'm talking about Charlie Brown Christmas. I'm talking about Scrooged.
Let's talk about a modern classic that people have latched onto, and thankfully,
Elf.
That's another one. Thank you, sir. I've got two now on the pedestal, vying for first place in terms of modern classics, mm-hmm, post 90s.
Yeah,
and that's Elf and Jim Carrey's The Grinch. They're always in my lineup now. When I was a kid, I didn't have the option, but now that it's available to me, I must see both of those.
Well, and as we're sitting here in the studio, and because we've got it artfully or strategically, I should say, not there's nothing artful about it, but strategically blocked off and in our camera angles. Over to this side, you can see that there's a bunch of red and green bins. That's all full of Christmas stuff right there.
Joy to the world.
So it's all, and that's a hangover from my school teaching days where I had to be just. Everything was organized so that I could go to that in a second and pull it off when things ran. So that's all.
My mother has a whole room dedicated in the basement to Christmas decorations.
Well, we kind of did, and then we just kind of...
It's her favorite holiday, and that's actually where my excitement and passion for Christmas has come from. But to balance it out, just like many of the beers we've talked about, you have to have a primary and a balancer, right? You have to have a focus of the aroma and the flavor profile and something behind the scenes that helps balance it out. My father he loves Christmas, but he's a Thanksgiving guy. And he's the advocate that I have really tied my anchor to in terms of order of operations and holiday order. Thanksgiving comes first.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to enjoy Christmas, get through the turkey, get through the communal table. And it may be family members that you weren't excited to see each year, but one time a year, you sit at the table, you have some laughs, you enjoy some great food, and you talk about it. Now we can move on to Christmas after the fact.
Right. And I'm totally with you. So as a kid, there was nothing bigger than Christmas. You know, that's it. But as a grown up, and so then I ended up, my wife, her birthday is Christmas. And so once she was the most important thing in my life, once that happened, then Christmas wasn't anything. It was just, I want to be able to celebrate her birthday. Everyone else gets to celebrate their birthday. So that's what we do, you know? And so we still celebrate both, but they're very different kinds of celebrations.
And it is very tough. We've got a great friend whose birthday is Christmas Eve. And mm-hmm. you know,
and so you want to make sure that you're devoting that. But so the importance of Christmas kind of takes a backseat to me, and for a very good reason. And I'm not complaining about it. I'm not, that's just what it is I made a very conscious decision that I want to celebrate this with my wife anyway. So, but then Thanksgiving is something. So when we moved to California and there's no snow, everything else. But one of the things I could not give up when we moved here was the traditional Thanksgiving meal. And so I have to have the turkey. I have to have the mashed potatoes. I need the gravy and some sort of whatever pumpkin dessert, whether it's even if it's a sweet potato pie kind of thing. But, you know, I need that to balance. And so I would say that I'm like your dad, that I am. The Thanksgiving is certainly the most important holiday of the holiday seasons, I guess.
I would agree with that. It's the most food focused holiday for me, but it also is the most communal in the sense that your family sits around a table. I know my in-laws, we go around the table and we say something we're thankful for the year and try to really acknowledge the essence of the holiday. Whereas Christmas, in my years past when I was a kid and growing up, it was great because all the family got together, oftentimes at my grandmother's house. We sit around, somebody plays Santa and hands out all the gifts, and you tear open your gifts. And I love that because you kind of go at your own pace, you thank people across the room, you get that little look or grin across the way, and you know that you appreciate what they gave you, and they acknowledge that they gave you something that you liked, and it's cool.
Yep.
But it's still like, do your thing, and then we'll meet at the kitchen table. Yeah. Whereas Thanksgiving is, we're coming together. Let's sit down and acknowledge that this unit, as dysfunctional as it can be throughout the year, is a unit.
Right. Well, and I think the other thing, too, is just without getting too weird about it, too, is just that there's...
You can get weird. It's just the two of us.
Yeah. It's just that, you know, it's minus the gifts. And so then it really is about just... And that's one of the things that I love about my wife and what she brought to the family, too, is that... And because she's lived with her birthday on Christmas her whole life, is that it's not these holidays, especially, they shouldn't be about these gifts. It should just be about spending it with your family. And so, but coming from the beer side of things, depending on which side of the family, which part of the family, which faction of this family, of either family that I'm living with, I always know that I have old numbskull to kind of soften the edges.
Sure.
Just relax everything and just have a seat.
This
just relax.
This Thanksgiving for me is a big bang holiday on many fronts. I'm like at the center of a video game with a military salvo coming at me. All these like things are coming converging on me, missiles, and but in a good way, because one, I'm more ingrained in the beer scene than I've ever been in my life through you and through my friends Eric and some brewing friends, where I understand it better. Like when I was in college, I started out with the crappy beers.
Sure.
I quickly moved into some more craft style, like if you will, but not to the level I am today, where you keep the good stuff in your room, and at the fraternity party, you meet some people you want to hang out with, and like, hey, if you want some non-natty ice, come upstairs, we'll hang out in my room on the couch.
And we'll
right?
drink Blue Moon.
We'll drink, yeah, exactly. We'll drink Blue Moon. And now I'm drinking Old Numbskull. I'm drinking, you know, the Siamese twin that we had in the opening of our broadcast today. Some stuff that I've never would have thought to even consider. Mm-hmm. But also in the wine sector. Yeah. I'm going to be taking one of our favorite wineries here in town and Four Bricks. Mm-hmm. They're Roseo. A rosé is going to be a beautiful option to turkey with the fatty, juicy richness of a turkey, mm-hmm. and that crisp fruitiness of a rosé. It's going to be different. So I'm going to make sure I've got a quality beer and a quality rosé. So I've got the beer scene, the wine scene of California that I didn't have when I was in Indiana. But also it's my grandmother-in-law's 90th birthday. So there's family coming in on my wife's side from New Orleans and all across the country to celebrate that. And 5 years ago on Thanksgiving was when I proposed to my wife. Oh. So like this is like a, you know, that mushroom cloud of excitement for this year. So I'm looking forward to it. We got some cool dishes. 3 years ago, I started introducing dishes from my family side back in Indiana. Things I missed, green bean casserole, glazed carrots. So I don't know what we're going to have on the table this year, but it's going to be a culmination of some awesome aspects of the holiday. Again, for me, it's a precursor to Christmas. You carry that excitement through, and Christmas is only 3 weeks away from Thanksgiving this year. It's a shortened, truncated time period.
Yeah.
But it allows us to build the excitement and carry it through to the end of the year.
Well, I think, if anyone is looking for a beer alternative too, the one thing that I never thought about was rosé until I had been to, I did an interview on another podcast that we're all associated with, Happy Hour with Joby mm-hmm. and Curtis, and Jason is also there as well. But was Plan B Winery in Ventura, and they have a sparkling rosé. And I love just a little tiny bit of carbonation. And Jason and I did a whole show, actually a happy hour show from Four Bricks, and we had the opportunity to taste, it was a Viognier maybe, that was still fermenting, and so it had a lot of natural carbonation to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And it was just this beautiful pineapple kind of flavored wine, and the carbonation, and it's a wonderful thing. I think carbonation is what's missing maybe the most out of wine for me. but when you look at a Thanksgiving dinner, all of the heavy and sauces, and so a rosé with just a tiny bit of sparkle in it will help scrub that palate too. So
most definitely.
That, and then, I mean,
you start with that during the meal and finish with an awesome heavy beer we've talked about in the past.
A beer, or if you're still looking for something, maybe you started your day off with beer, you've gone to wine, and you're trying to remember if it's beer before liquor or liquor before beer, however that happens. But maybe end the day on a bourbon. Hey,
a bourbon?
I tip my
hat to you, sir.
Maybe just a little bit of like apple pie
spice?
Bitters.
Oh, apple pie bitters.
There are apple pie. Just like a tink, and then you just sit back with it.
I thought you were going to go the port realm, but I'm intrigued by the bourbon
and
bitters.
Let's spread the wealth over the imbibing nation.
Your co-host for Happy Hour, Joby, would be proud. Yeah, the fact that we're covering all adult beverage bases.
Well, yeah, you hit them all.
Which is another beauty of Thanksgiving.
Well, and the fact that that bourbon and whiskeys and scotches all come from a grain anyway, and that you're going to be eating a grain at some point during your holiday, you're a vegan or you're a meatitarian.
Can we touch on that for a second? You have a vegetarian wife,
right?
That you don't want to leave out, right? So when it comes to Thanksgiving, often turkey, ham, or lamb are the three focus proteins of a Thanksgiving dinner.
They are.
What's your primary dish? What does Genevieve gravitate to during the day?
Well, let me back up. Let me step back by just saying that when we go to breweries, when we're together and we're driving from one place, from point A to point B, and there's a brewery in the spot, we'll stop at the brewery, and then my wife drives. If we're from point A to point B and it's a winery, then we stop for my wife and then I drive.
Okay.
So we do this very well between the two of us already on the things that matter the most to us, alcohol. So that we're always safe. We learn that, I think, through just from being married, a meatitarian and a vegetarian.
Well, just to go all Dr. Phil, married, keeping those components in balance is the key to a good relationship. My father taught me long ago, you have to be in balance and healthy. Your wife has to be in balance and healthy in the things that you both individually hold dear and nourish you. And then as a unit, you keep that component together and the things you share.
Right. Well, and my wife is not a vegan. And so there's a certain amount of eggs that we... Okay. And just because of cheese? The cholesterol things that we don't do a lot of eggs and cheese, there's a high hereditary cholesterol thing. And so we don't do a lot of those. But so it's my diet is heavily balanced towards... a vegetarian. We eat some meat and I certainly crave it from time to time. But so when it comes to Thanksgiving, it's just, you know, there's everything else. There's turkey. There's turkey.
Don't say
that would be me. You know, there's mashed potatoes, there's the stuffing, there's the cranberries, there's the pies.
So you don't do a primary alternative?
No, I would if she requested it, certainly, but it's not something that she's concerned about. I mean, this is just that one meal out of an entire week you know, so we can all splurge on these things and go heavy on the starches and the fats and everything else. She never cared for gravy. And so she misses out on my turkey bacon fat gravy.
Oh, I want some of that. So can I have her portion?
Freaking awesome. But we balance it pretty well. And so, you know, it's just what you do. I mean, we've been married for 18 years, so
something must be working.
We've hit a balance in there somewhere. At one point early on in our marriage, I thought for sure I was going to convert her back to meat. And
later on,
and slowly she's been kind of cutting back.
Anytime did you feel like you were wasting away because you were vegetarian?
Yeah, look at me. Seriously, I'm not wasting away at all, certainly. And I get plenty of protein and fat, definitely. But anyway, so I love Thanksgiving. And that's really the one. I can do sushi and I can do any other totally 180. You know, difference from a Christmas meal, but on Thanksgiving,
you gotta I need that comfort food. And I can, growing up in Indiana, I can relate to that.
Yeah, I just need it. That's what it is. So I'm pouring myself. I just polished off the Saison Twin Ale Double, giving myself another little pour of the.
I don't want you to drink alone.
Old Numbskull, thank you. I appreciate that. Just to whet my appetite.
Well, since we won't have another broadcast before Thanksgiving, let's give a little holidays cheers.
Cheers to you.
We'll see you after the big day, the turkey day. There's football, there's family, friends, there's great food, there's fantastic beverage available to you. Make sure those are all well represented on the day. And we'll come back before Christmas and give you a couple more new broadcasts.
Well, yeah, you know, I've got some beer that we have to drink.
A few bottles. What's exciting, too, is since we're at the crescendo of our BJCP categories, we'll be moving into the subcategories a little more heavily. We may revisit some primary categories with new breweries because there's so many options out there that we'll want to just taste as many beers and describe them within the category as possible. But also, it opens the door to the thing that I've been pushing for since the beginning. Guests, in-studio guests, bringing in new perspective, maybe some food dishes to go with the beer. We've got a baker, a pastry chef. We have a couple of chefs in general that maybe we can introduce. We're actually eating food that goes with the beer in front of you.
That would be novel.
And I just a quick, even though this is the Meltdown show, we do want to give a quick shout out to our beer sponsor, the Beer Cave here in Camarillo. I would like to do a bonus show with Sammy, maybe even Mo, if we can get them both in here, to talk about what they see with their customer trends too. Since they're carrying so many different styles of beers and we're going through every major category, do they see a skew in one direction or the other? What's going on with the different categories, and are they represented evenly, or is there a style that people are really loving right now?
Yeah, he would love to come on the show too, and he said that as well.
We got the buzz of death. That may be the end of our time.
That tells us that it's time to stop rambling, or maybe we should wrap the ramble up.
But yes, but I would have to say, just to cut you off briefly.
Just to cut your ramble off and let me finish mine.
There you go. If you've ever seen From Dusk Till Dawn with George Clooney.
Oh, God, I don't think I have. It's a
really entertaining B+, A- vampire movie. There's a point where he looks at all the people in his group. And he says, "Ramblers, let's get rambling."
Wait, Dusk to Dawn, a vampire movie, and it has George Clooney in it?
With an arm tattoo. And
when was this? This had to have been years before he started.
Not that many years. It was written by, produced, and starring Quentin Tarantino.
Really?
Yes, you got to check it out.
Oh, my God.
to tie into our true meltdown show, he says, "Ramblers, let's get rambling." We should open with it, not close with it.
That sounds like a good idea. So, you know, would I like to finish these meltdown shows, because we've been going for about 2.5 hours now, is let's go eat.
I love it.
All right. So, you know where to find us, all that good stuff. And if you don't, then just scroll down the page.
You can start with hopheadsaid.com.
You'll find us down there somewhere.
Again, thanks to Sammy and Mo at the Beer Cave. It's been a great day. Look for us at the next pour.
Definitely. Cheers.